Now on News Talk, as part of our spring season of documentary on News Talk, we take a journey around Ireland to discover what drives people mad for dry stone walls. Tristan Rosenstock presents Stone Mad.
Build that wall, 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 build that wall.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Some of the world's most well-known walls were built to separate people, to separate ideologies, to separate nations. But here in Ireland, we've a very different type of wall which our ancestors have been building for centuries and which not only divide the land, but also bring people together. Dry stone wall building is experiencing a huge resurgence in Ireland as more and more people are being drawn to this unique vernacular aspect of our built heritage. These walls, built with stone and nothing else, no cement or mortar, have stood for hundreds of years. Festivals such as the Tírchonnell Stone Festival are attracting huge numbers of people who are taking an interest in these beautiful walls. I'm on a journey to meet with people who are passionate about dry stone walls. People who are, by their own admission, stone mad.
The first stop on my journey is Donegal Town to meet with a Belfast artist who is playing a central role in the revival of this ancient craft, Louise Price.
I'm the secretary of the Dry Stone Wall Association of Ireland, and I'm also one of the main organisers of the Tírchonnell Stone Festival, which is a festival of stone held in Donegal every June. The Tírchonnell Stone Festival came about due to a group of friends who happened to be interested in stonemasons and artists. We used to go to the Stone Festival in Inishere, which is now 10 years old, and we used to enjoy it so much, connecting with other stonemasons and like-minded people, comrades from all over the country, all over the world. And on the way back home, the long drive back home to Donegal, we always said we should do this in Donegal. And then one year we just did it and kind of plunged in without really knowing what we were doing, to be honest. And we started a stone festival in Mount Charles Pier, where we restored a 300-year-old wall. So that's how it began. It's a truly collaborative grassroots movement. We consider ourselves to be very lucky that we've got the kind of friendships that allow us to be able to work together voluntarily, year after year. And we're very privileged to be doing something that we love and helping other people to enjoy it.
There's a dry stone wall building fraternity that's growing all the time here in Ireland. What kind of people come together nowadays to do this?
Well, people of all backgrounds, all ages, come together to build dry stone walls. It's absolutely massive. It's experiencing a great resurgence. We're finding a lot of women are coming along to our dry stone wall workshops. Older men especially, who actually remember the skills and have retained the skills because they've learned them beside their father or their grandfather, are able to work beside, you know, young women and children and teenagers and the whole mix of society. One of the main reasons people enjoy it so much is that they get to connect with other people.
Is there a social side to this as well, and even a romantic side to this?
Dry stone walling is extremely social, possibly even romantic, because it's a thing you can't do on your own. You need to work with other people and both sides of the wall, building up both sides of the wall at the same time. So when people come to our stone festivals and our workshops, they might phone up and ask, you know, do we need steel capped shoes? I say yes. Do we need tools? I say no, just bring yourselves. Is there a campsite? Yes, nearby, no problem. And then the last question might be, is there any eligible men there? And the answer is yes, there always is.
Have many matches come out of dry stonewall making?
Yes, I'm sure they have. People have a great connection on the wall because they're picking up stone with their bare hands and you can't help but have a little bit of banter with the person working beside you. And the jokes and the crack on the wall is absolutely mighty. Dry stone walls are a beautiful thing. There's 25,000 miles of dry stone wall in Ireland, at least. And that's a very, very large amount of dry stone and the most in the whole of Europe, probably for one small country. There's many reasons why there's so much dry stone wall here, but we certainly find that it's a thing that brings people together. People love to come together and build dry stone walls together. It's a very grounding experience and it's a very unifying experience.
When did you fall in love with dry stone walls, Louise?
I always liked them. But it wasn't until I went to the Aran Islands, in Ishir in particular, that they really blew me away. Pádraig Pól is a native islander on Ishir, and he's been building walls, you know, ever since he could walk. He's got some beautiful fields. He's one of the few people who actually still makes fields on the island, in an area of the island called the Rian, near where the lighthouse is, the most westerly windswept part of the island. Pádraig has got a very deep love of these traditional ways of life, and he's keeping them going, and we connect with him at least a couple of times a year when we go down there and we help him out with his walls.
Next up is Russavíl, where the boat will take us to Inishere. Well, the snow-capped 12 bends are behind us. We're in Galway Bay looking out at the Aran Islands, and I can just about make out Inishere, listening to Louise talk in Donegal about her passion for dry stone walls and how Pádraig really inspired her initially to take an interest in it. Makes me really excited to meet Pádraig himself and to learn from the master, the man who's been doing this for the best part of 50 years. Pádraig, it's lovely to meet you. Louise was telling me all about you in Donegal. It's great to see you at last.
She was telling me a little bit about you too.
Uh-oh, all lies. I'm dying to see the stone walls you have up at the house.
Yeah, okay, no problem. Come on up on the tractor so and we'll have a look.
It seems that stone walls make up most of the landscape here in Inishere, don't
actually,
they?
Actually, they do, because it was all stones in like 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So they picked the stones out of the fields and tidied them up, and then the boundary lines in years gone by, you'd get a grant from the government for building them. This wall now my father built and the neighbour, they're gone now. And they'd have to be two different styles. The bottom half, the stones would be on their flat, and then the 2 foot on top, they'd be standing up. It was a nice style, like, and it tidied up the island a lot.
Would that style be unique to the Aran Islands, or would you see that in different parts of the country as well?
I didn't see it. It's very few places I see the stones standing up, mostly on their flat there.
Yeah.
When I love building, now when I build a wall, I always had them standing up.
Yeah.
I love it that way because it's a challenge for me. Like, it's, you have to think when you put in one stone, you have to think how is the next one going to fit. So I'm thinking in here all the time.
You like to make life more difficult.
Well, I don't know. But I love that kind of wall anyhow.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so good for me. It makes me feel so good in the evening. Like you feel it refreshed. It's like you learn something new or whatever. And there's always something to be learned from putting different stones in and different kind of make it, build a stone. Like, you know, all that is, I don't know. I love doing it anyway.
Do you feel, in a way, it's a sense of connecting with the
land? Yeah, I think when you're working with anything from the earth, it makes you feel good. It's the same as you're in your garden, working with your spade and working by hand, like. It's so it's like a therapy. Mm. Yeah, yeah, that's how I feel it. Yeah.
You've been working on stone walls for many a year.
Oh, sure, I know. 40 years, 50 years. Yeah. And I'm still learning.
That doesn't give me much hope.
There's hope for you as well.
Can you remember, Park, the first time you helped out making a dry stone wall?
I can. And we were out near the lighthouse. And my neighbour was praising me, like, we were taking all the rice stones over so that they'd put them in the wall. I was only 8 or 9 years old at the time. And he was saying, how the hell does he know the stones we want? He's taking them all over here for us.
Yeah. So you had a knack from a young age?
Yeah, I guess you learn by watching a lot. But there's no point in watching all the time. You have to kind of put them in and then they'll tell you if it's in the right place or not. You'll know eventually yourself, like. You're learning the hard way, because you have to do it wrong to get it right.
It's heavy work for an 8-year-old boy. Did you enjoy it at the time, or at the time was it a bit...
No, I was only going in the small stones, really, at the time, like, now. Yeah. But, I enjoyed it, and we had a lot of fun, like, because the older people, they were so witty, and they had a great sense of humour. And he was only praising me, because he knew if he was praising me, I'd get more and more stones coming.
Was it fun? Was the social element of it a big part?
There was a lot, there was actually. And then they'd sit down by the wall when there'd be a break and when they'd have their lunch and they'd have their bread or whatever and they'd be eating away and chatting away. Then they'd have a smoke. Oh, there was a lot involved. Yeah. They had a great fun doing it, like. Yeah.
In that sense, did these stone walls bring neighbours together?
They did, big time. Oh, they surely did. And then other neighbours would come and be looking at the wall because they'd be doing the same in another place. And they would praise it or condemn it or whatever. And they had.
It's a funny idea because we think of a wall as something that divides. And we think of a wall between two neighbours as something that separates them. Uh-huh. But in a way, it brings them together.
Oh, yeah, it brings them together. Of course it does. Because actually, they could be in rows before that wall was built as high, because the sheep could be coming into the neighbour, or the cow would jump the wall, or the horse, or whatever. And some neighbours wouldn't be very, maybe, understanding. So it could cause a fight, like. But once the wall was built up, it would be nearly, it'd be close to 6 feet high, like, the boundary lines. So that means that everything was kept in its own place, like, then. Yeah.
They were also, of course, very functional, and the stone walls helped initially cleared the fields.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
I suppose it helped grow things on
it
the island.
It did, of course, because, like, where you dig the stones, you replace the stone, but put sand on it on topside, and the grasses start growing, like. Yeah. And the fields are now way... I know they're still small, because the stones had to be put somewhere. They just put them in the wall then, like.
Yeah. You have a fine field here. The Bull McCabe himself would be very proud. How did you get it looking so well?
Well, down the years, you have to keep at it and keep it tidy. And I love my fields to be tidy. Cut the briars and keep this any stone that falls down during the winter off the wall, like that a big storm or whatever.
The land here in the island is very rocky, and I suppose these stone walls help take some of the stones out of the fields. But how then do you get the ground so fertile like this?
Well, the first thing you need to do then, if there's any crevices in it, or you level it off and fill all the holes with little stones, then you get sand. And then you get a bit of a topside on top of the sand, because the sand would blow away. And all it needs then, if you're growing stuff there, you put seaweed on it and stuff. Mm. Like that, like. Or a horse manure, which is really good. It's going to make a feed, like, it's going to take a few years before it really takes off. But when it does take off, then it's nice and green.
Park, you set up a Stonewall Festival here in Inisiair years ago. Tell me a bit about that.
Actually, it started here now 10 years back, I think. They come in September, from all over the world, actually. And it's taken off like a charm. And it's kind of a sociable thing. And they go out every night and they have a drink, they have a sing-song. And it's a great get-together thing. And I love it. Yeah, they come from all over the world. There's a lot of interest in Stonewall now.
And, of course, Louise was telling us about the social side of it, and even matchmaking, people kind of end up hooking up together. You learn a lot about someone when you see them building a wall.
Oh, that can happen. Big time, man. Oh, tell you, you see different people from all over the world. Yes, I wouldn't mind having you building this wall with me.
the idea of passing on his skills as very important skills he put to good use on his own land. But I wonder, is the demand as high in other parts of Ireland? I'm travelling south to Dingle to meet David Russell, who's part of a new generation practising the art of dry stone wall building. Dingle, of course, is an Dangan, the fortress, and a wall surrounding the town has been there for centuries. Having suffered and weathered the elements over many years, David has been asked to restore this ancient wall. David, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
It's a beautiful morning in Dingle and I'm looking out at this magnificent wall. Tell me a bit about it.
We built this back in 2014. The council wanted to do works here on the road. They wanted to widen the road and improve the road, widen the footpath. So they knocked the original wall that was there and we're putting it back as best we can to kind of, I suppose, show the old wall as much as we can.
And how old would that old wall be? When would that have been built?
You're going back, I suppose, thousands of years, I suppose, really, to be honest. I'm not sure, but it's fairly old. So a lot of it was falling down. So I suppose for safety as well, they wanted to kind of rebuild it, you know.
And was the idea to include some of the old style in the reconstruction?
They wanted to kind of show that the wall hadn't been moved, if they could. Do you know what I mean? To build the wall as close to the old style as we could. That for people, that it wasn't knocked and rebuilt, if we could do that, do you know?
And can I just ask you a bit about yourself? Did you get into this from a very young age?
Well, I suppose on and off. I'm at Stio maybe over 20 years. I started maybe when I was 16 as a summer job. I kind of went away from it and came back. We do a lot of council work now. Most of our work is all council work. And I'd have, at the moment, I have five fellows work with me.
So there's a living to be made out of dry stone walls?
Yeah. We're not making a fortune like, but just paying the bills, you know.
I heard about a stone wall being built between two farmers' fields, and if it wasn't built right, it could cause a bit of tension.
Oh, I'd say, yeah. This would, I suppose, fellas would be kind of proud of their work as well, you know. So I suppose a bad looking stone wall would look bad on the farmer, I suppose, might show that he's lazy or wouldn't have interest in his work as such, you know.
Do you see any of them around?
Plenty of them on the Monday. And even a new fella starting off, you know, we'd give him a chance to start laying stone, and he would come in the following day, I suppose, when he wouldn't be looking, he would try and knock it, you know. But I suppose everyone deserves a chance, like everyone has a start, you know. But like, I know fellas that are at stone 5 or 6 years and they're still putting in stone upside down and things like that, you know. But I suppose every man thinks they're doing the right thing, you know, but I suppose you'll always find fault with someone else's work.
It's heavy work, of course, so I imagine that the metal tradition would have been very common around here.
Oh, yeah, it is. Like, you can see there the big stones there, like it's big, heavy work. But I suppose today now it's like two beds, we have machines, you know, we have small bobcats there and mini diggers for lifting stones and things, so, you know, but still, you're still lifting it, do you know what I mean? It's heavy, heavy work, like. Like eight, 9 hours a day, lifting stone, throwing them around the place, it's hard work.
The idea of kind of incorporating some of the old and putting a slightly modern feel to the wall, is that something that you work at?
Well, I suppose you can't build it like it was built long ago, because I suppose of age, you know, when things age, you can't recreate that straight away. Like it takes years for it to weather. Do you know what I mean? Like if you break a stone, you'll see a kind of a new face on it. But these walls, they're 1,000 years old maybe and more. So they have weathered. So you can't recreate that straight away. It takes time for that to weather.
And in terms of the patterns and the designs, have they changed much?
Not really, I suppose. The main thing is just keep your stone as straight as you can. That's what they were doing ever, and that's what we're trying to do. I suppose to keep it as level as we can and keep all the stones straight. Some people use standing kind of vertical stones. We don't use as much here. We kind of lie them all flat as best we can. You know, that's the style they have here. I suppose different parts of the country have different styles. But our style, I suppose, here is trying to just keep them flat and straight as much as we can.
I wonder whether machines will continue to replace human hands in years to come, and if knowledge that has been passed down over thousands of years will be lost forever. Something I asked Páraic Pól about in Inishir. Do you worry that the tradition might die out?
I do, actually, and I want to do it big time. I want to teach my two boys now. I need to do it for myself, even. Anything I can do, I'd love to pass it on so that they're able to follow my footsteps, kind of.
You're listening to Stone Mad on News Talk 106 to 108.
Dry stone walls have been a feature of the Irish landscape for thousands of years, and artists have attempted to capture their serene elegance in many forms. I'm on my way to the largest of the Aran Islands, Inishmore, to meet with a mosaic artist whose work is heavily influenced by her native island, Barbara Duran. Barbara, can I stand it? I should ask the question to Rish.
Oh yeah, come on. Fall sugar gene in.
Do you think that the people who built the dry stone walls on this island view them as pieces of art as well?
Well, I hope to think so. I think the stone walls are an art form in themselves. It's a very skilled work, and like mosaic, it takes a lot of patience and it takes a lot of hard work to create something out of a material that's so hard.
Of all the Aran traditions, do you think the tradition of dry stone wall making is strongest at the moment?
I think so. I think a lot of people look at it now that's something that's very unique and very special to the island. You come to the island, the first thing you see all around you. Again, it's a skilled work. People are kind of going back to something that's very kind of ancient and something that's kind of will stand the test of time. And people do love something because it is a challenge, and it is something that once you master, it's very, very special.
I was thinking about your mosaic artwork and the relationship that it has with the dry stone walls of the area. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Well, I suppose growing up here in the island, my dad kind of showed us and taught us how to build stone walls. And I was one of four girls, and having no boys in the family, we kind of had to go and do the work. And from a very early age, we would watch my dad build walls, and he was very, I suppose, accurate and meticulous in building and took great pride in it. And I always found it just pretty amazing to watch him do it. It was almost like an art form. So it's quite similar in one way to mosaic, where you have to, look at a piece of stone and build it up almost like a jigsaw, which is very similar to mosaic.
You left the island then to go to art college, did you?
Yeah, I went to art college in Waterford, and it was quite an open kind of art course where you studied everything from, you know, life drawing to ceramics. And my final year, I did a project on the island and the landscape. So that kind of helped me bring me back to the island and, I suppose, see the island and the culture through new eyes.
Mosaic is hugely popular all around Italy and Greece and Albania and elsewhere, but it's not that popular here in Ireland. What drew you to it?
I love shape and form. And maybe because of growing up with surrounded by such hard materials, that it drew me to it. And obviously, somehow the dry stone wall building was very similar to mosaic, and it kind of maybe unconsciously showed me kind of a way of working with it. It was something I saw once in a magazine, and I tried my hand at it, and it came very naturally to me, and I loved it and stuck with it, you know. It's not very, very common here in Ireland. I think a lot of people think mosaic is a very crafty thing rather than an art form, where other parts of the world it's an art in itself. But I think it's certainly getting more popular, and people are looking at it as an art form more than just a craft.
When I look at both, I think of a jigsaw puzzle. Is there an element of that involved?
Yeah, there is. I suppose mosaic is you know, you say you break a very large tile into small pieces, you would need to build it up. For me, with mosaic, because I'm probably so used to it now, that you would break a piece, you'd almost know instantly what piece is going to fit next to each other. So you would build it up like a jigsaw, and to create a shape.
Do you draw a lot of inspiration from the traditions of this island?
I suppose, yeah, I do. I suppose when you're surrounded by it and when you go away, you come back and you, I suppose, appreciate the beauty of the island and the culture and the folklore and the myths and the landscape. You kind of, as an artist, look, you take in such inspiration from that and you try to kind of make it your own, or you try and portray it in your own way or your own voice. And it certainly, yeah, helps me, the traditions and looking back at all the myths. It's very unique and it's very special.
Another artist on whom Drystone Walls made a lasting impact is musician and songwriter Leo Moran of the Saw Doctors, and I'm heading for the N17 to bring me to Tuam.
Turn left onto the N17.
It's great to see you on the N17 here.
How are you, Tristan? You're welcome to Tuam.
Tell me, the song N17, it's one of the most iconic songs really in the Irish songbook. How did that song come about?
Well, Davy Carton is to blame really. At the time we were living in Tuam, and I still am obviously, and the N17 at the time was known to us as the Galway Road, and if you were in Galway the perspective was that it's the Tuam Road. But then they started to put up these little signs with N17 on it, and nobody really noticed them as things like that happen. And Davy was living in Clare Galway, and he noticed the N17 sign, and he has a great ear and an eye for something that's catchy and musical. And he said something like, "I wish I was on the N17 and I was looking at him a little bit perplexed, as you would. But then I said to him, "Oh God, I have a few verses about a fella that left town and is living away from home, so we might be able to marry those two things together." And that's really where it came from. And my granduncle had a fiddle, actually. My uncle said he might have made the fiddle. And it was in my house, and neither of us could play it. And I tried, but I never could. But Davy took it up, and he did the most simple thing on the fiddle that anyone could do. He went, da, da, and down to the other string, da, da. He said, "That's kind of catchy." So that was the basis of the song. We obviously grew up with stone walls. My father's aunt was the last of her generation, and she owned the family farm 6 miles out the road in Carra, in Carlistran. And my father became a kind of a part-time farmer, helping her look after the land, and then he inherited the land. So stone walls were just part of our lives, and we probably never really noticed them until we went abroad or went somewhere where they weren't and noticed their absence. And then, like a lot of things when you're growing up, you take for granted what your environment is and you don't really clock it and understand it or think about it. So it's really only when you go away and you're in their absence that you kind of notice them. And maybe that's why the song connects with people, because they, when they hear the song, they might notice the absence of stone walls.
And ultimately, I suppose it's kind of a song of emigration and the longing for home, would you think?
Yeah, it's about somebody that left Tuam and is wondering about being back home and all the things. Because I had gone on a J1 to America in 1983 when I was in college, and that sensation of leaving Ireland and looking back on a small island and then being in a huge country, I tuned into that a little bit, and it hadn't left me.
The chorus, I suppose, is one of those ones that crowds love to sing along to all around the world. How does that feel when you're on stage and you hear that?
Oh, it's an amazing buzz to hear people singing back a chorus. In some ways, I imagine that if you could see people's thoughts over their heads on a video projector, they all have a different picture of what the chorus means to them. And that's what songs do if they work. And thankfully, that one works. And yeah, I imagine everybody has their own little different picture of, you know, it might be somebody they kissed beside a stone wall, or they might have fell in over a stone wall, or the journey that's mentioned in the song or whatever. But that's hopefully what songs do, and thankfully what some of them do.
Of all the songs that you've recorded over the years, do you think that that song has a certain connection with members of the diaspora that you meet when you're touring around the world?
Well, I think it has. It's a very simple song, obviously, and there are very simple images in the song, and particularly in the chorus. And it just really does seem to resonate with people that those pictures are real to them in some way. And I mean, what happened with the stone walls and the grass is green line is Davy had the "I wish I was on the N17, and you have to wait 4 beats before you can sing it again. So as we do when we write songs, you think, oh, we could fill that with something. So I might have said to Davy, we could put something in there while we're waiting. And Davy said, I remember him coming up, he said, yeah, stone walls and the grass is green. And I wasn't very impressed. You know, I thought, God, that's a bit obvious. You know, but of course, like a lot of good ideas, they don't sound great when you hear them first. But the statement of the obvious is actually a very good thing. It's a very simple thing. And it allows people, like I was saying, to have their own picture of the walls and the grasses.
The green grass and the green grass of home is a long established idea of a connection with home. But you guys introduced the stone walls to that kind of popular consciousness of the image of home. Have people you've met along the way on tour commented on the stone walls and that it's something that they miss when they're living away from home?
Well, they don't really talk about it, but hopefully it seems to mean something to them, and definitely the enthusiasm with which they sing it seems to mean something to them.
As a touring musician then, somebody who spends quite a bit of time on the road all over the world, is it a lovely feeling when you arrive home after a long tour and you see those stone walls and you think, we're nearly home?
It is, yeah, it absolutely is. We get the best of both worlds. We have a very lucky lifestyle. We get to go away to all kinds of different places and enjoy them. And then it's also a break from being at home. So when you come home, it's a great feeling to come back and appreciate what you have. And the stone walls are always a great part of that. And especially if you land in Dublin and you have to drive across the country and the walls start coming into prominence after the Shannon, it's always part of the homecoming in your head, all right.
I can relate to what Leo is saying. Every summer when we were children, my extended family would head to Inspiddale in Connemara for our summer holidays. The drive from Dublin to Spittal seemed to take an entire day. And then, when we crossed the Shannon, the first of the dry stone walls would start to appear. But these walls can also be found across the Atlantic, and people all over the world are attempting to learn this ancient skill. Louise Price.
There's an international community of dry stone wallers. It's very big in America and Canada, where they have so much less dry stone heritage to protect. So naturally, they're very keen to protect what they do have. They've got huge stone festivals over there in Amherst Island in Canada, where there's a big Irish connection. It was mainly Irish and Scottish people going out to these countries who built the dry stone wall out there and took their skills with them. These people come to Ireland sometimes as well, and they're just blown away when they see what we have here. And our members from the Dry Stone Wall Association go out to Canada and America sometimes too. There's other societies all over Europe, and there's quite a strong festival running in Austria called Stein und Wein, where the terraces of the vineyard are, you know, maintained, and the stonework and the skills are combined with lots of nice wine tasting as well, which just sounds perfect.
Having met with some expert dry stone wall builders throughout the country, I was eager to give it a shot myself, and Pádraic Pól in Inishere was kind enough and patient enough to take me under his wing. Would you dare to try teach me?
Aye, of course. Why not?
So, Pádraic, when you're starting a brand new wall, mm-hmm. Where do you start? You start at the bottom, I suppose, but how do you go about it?
The first thing you need to do, actually, you dig out the trench if there's any clay there. If not, you get a line down, like. And I'd like to run a straight, like. and you start, let's say that this side here, that stone will be there, you'd have one over here, and then the next row, like, they'd be catching one another. That means it's a strong wall.
Yeah.
It's like the, you know, a spacer there, like the block thing. They'd be all catching and going in and out to one another, like, to make the wall strong.
Yeah. And do you spend a lot of time choosing the stones for the base?
No, really, you have an eye after a while. You'll see the one you need, or if somebody's with you just learning, you see that one there, now give me that one, the way it'll fit in there. Mm. There was a guy here, his name was Dinny Hogan. He God be good to him. And when they were building out at the lighthouse, they were building the wall there. Let's say there was a little space in there now. They'd ask him to go and get a stone that would fit in there.
Yeah.
It's where he had a saw to cut the stone. He'd come back, the stone would fit in there. So it's the eye, really, that will show you what you need. Like.
Yeah.
But it takes time. Nobody's going to be doing it in a week, like. But you're learning all the time. Mm. And you, if somebody's with you that has a lot of patience, and let's say you'll be on this side and he'll be on the other, and you'll be telling him, look at that one there now, put it there, and I can put another one on this side. So that's how you learn, really.
Mm. Yeah.
And you learn, first of all, like, by building the gaps, let the cattle into the field. That's how we learned a lot.
Yeah.
To build up the gap and make it good and strong, like. Because there was no gates then, like, it was all stones.
So it's not solitary work at all. It's not something you do on your own. You always need somebody else with you, do you?
Well, you don't really. I really like working on my own a lot. But then if there's heavier stones, but I did a lot of work on my own out of the real, mostly on my own, really. And then I'd have my lunch with me. And I'd sit down by the wall and have my lunch, and this robin would come. And she'd eat the crumbs off my hand every day at midday. You swear she has a watch.
So I'm making a little bit of progress here, but it's all about getting the right stone in the right place. But
Yeah.
I suppose it's something I'll get better at as time goes on. It's tricky, isn't it, finding the right hole for right stone?
I know, it is tricky. But you're improving a lot since how long have you been here now? You've been with me now 2 days.
I nearly have it now.
You're doing all right now. Look at that. You've got the right kind of stone there. You're
showing me up now, Mark.
Takes time there. And a lot of patience. But it's worth it in the end. It's so good for our well-being, actually.
In what way?
If you're down now, it's the best thing you could do is work with stone. Because I know from experience, actually, that from when my kids left years ago, I was down, and I was really down in a hole. And I just started slowly. I wasn't able to do much the first few days, now or here and now or there. But I had to keep going back because I liked doing it so much, and I saw that what I was doing looked real nice, and I kept at it. And thank God I recovered.
In recent years, Park, there's been a resurgence in interest in stone walls.
Yeah, I can't believe it, really. There is, all over the world.
Has that surprised you?
It does surprise me. It really does. I don't know why did it happen all of a sudden, the last 10 years now. Like, yeah. More and more people want to come in here every year. There's 60 to 70 people coming at that festival now. Like,
I guess.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like, yeah, it is. They're all interested in it, really. Yeah.
Does that give you some hope then? Are you more hopeful now than you might have been 10 years ago that the tradition will be maintained?
Yes, I am, but I'd love the island, the young people on the island to be interested, really. I would.
Would it make you happy if one of your lads
kept
going?
It would. I have to make it happen, actually, for my own well-being as well. I'd love to pass it on.
Yeah.
And them to be, we'll get interested in it, and we'll have a lot of fun together. Like, that's what it's all about.
Porrick's son, Raymond, is inside, and I'm curious to hear if he has any interest in carrying on the family tradition. Well, Raymond, lovely to meet you. I was chatting to your dad, Porrick, about the stone walls outside there. Did you ever help out with that?
I did, yeah. Last winter, we were building a few walls up around the island.
Hmm. Do you enjoy it?
It wasn't too bad. It's like, I just kept telling him during the winter, it's just a giant puzzle. We have to figure out the proper pieces and where they go.
It's tough work though, isn't it?
It's not too bad if the weather's nice. It starts raining and you're trying to work, then you're in shelter, and trying to work and then shelter, you're back and forth.
Do you think you'll carry on the tradition that's in the family?
I think I'll try to. Like, my dad's 71 now, and he keeps saying after 50 years of doing it, he's still learning and stuff. And so I have a long road ahead of me.
would you like to learn from your father and maintain some of the local patterns and traditions?
I would, yeah. It's very interesting. Like my dad always says, is he could go to Inishman and he'll just take a look at a wall and know who built it. And like after a few decades, maybe I might be able to do that myself.
So I suppose it's the kind of thing that the older you get, sometimes the more you appreciate these things. Yeah. Do you find that as well?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, just growing up here before going to America there, I didn't really know much about the walls at all. And so just this last winter's where I actually picked up on most of it and understood why they're so useful and why we need them around.
That question of passing the tradition on is something I asked Barbara Duran on nearby Inishmore.
As a mother, would you like your own son now to take part in dry stone wall making?
Well, he actually does. When we're out, you know, on the land with my uncle, he knows kind of how to approach and how to do it. So he would try and lift the little stones like I did when I was younger with my dad and try and, you know, take pride in fitting it in or putting a little stone in a certain place. And he would stand back and really kind of, you know, take pride in himself. And when I am working on my mosaics, he would kind of sit by me even when he was three and a half, four years old and, you know, enjoy finding little pieces and taking pride and putting them next to each other like a jigsaw. And he really enjoys it. So I think I would, yeah. I'd like him to learn to work with his hands and to appreciate the culture and the beauty and the landscape of the island.
In Dingle, I asked David Russell the same question.
And David, you have your own little lad, Dara. Will you be passing this tradition on to him?
Yeah, I would, if he, I suppose, at the moment. He likes to be out and about with me, and I would, to be honest. Like, if I'd like to see, I suppose, my company keep going, I suppose, when I'm gone, I suppose I'd like to see him, either him or maybe the author, Amy, and they like the outdoors, so hopefully they will keep going. Hopefully, like their mother's a teacher, and she's pushing, I'd say, that they'd be staying with education. Like, they were at home one night and the mother was on to them about doing their homework and not doing well if they don't do their homework. And Dara, who was only 7, turned around to his mother and said, "Dad never went to college and he's doing all right."
As long as knowledge and expertise are handed down from generation to generation, our traditions will continue to thrive and serve to remind us of our patrimony. The people I've met have inspired me with their passion and enthusiasm for this living aspect of our heritage, and I'm starting to see these dry stone walls in fresh light. They're mosaics. They're an image of home. They're a source of solace. They've withstood thousands of years of change, and they're not going anywhere. I think I can finally say that I too am stone mad.
Stone Mad was produced by Donald Donovan, presented by Tristan Rosenstock, and featured the music of Martine O'Connor, Cullum McInamara, and the Saw Doctors. The programme makers wish to thank all those who contributed to the making of this documentary. It was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.